you know, when it comes to Indian women especially, and because we deal with a lot of women who come to us with these problems where they do not know how to take control, they do not know where to start. And these are the questions that are very tough to answer.
I feel like the first step would probably be to do a little bit of grounding work with your own body. The idea is that if you've spent time feeling it, sensing it, breathing into it, then kind of sense in its fullest. I would say do it before you start to masturbate.
Correct.
One should probably be teaching this in at a kid is pre-pubescent. Even within India, bahut sare conservative households mein, aaj bhi, it's extremely unheard of, the idea that a woman would take agency of her pleasure.
Women and their mental health and their physical health is so crucial in this day and age, because if we don't do it as women today, we're only surrendering to almost something that would feel very wrong in the future.
Sure. 100%. I think at any stage of intimacy, sex, within any relationship, if there isn't a complementary flow of power and pleasure,
yes,
then there's something wrong. And then that something wrong needs to be addressed. Sex is a very important part of the human experience, period.
Absolutely.
It is equally as important as the fact that you need to nourish your body with food.
Yeah.
And that you need to excrete.
Yes.
And that you need to sleep.
You sound like me. Asta, a trailblazer in Indian filmmaking, is a distinguished graduate in film and television production from the University of York. Notable for her roles in acclaimed films and collaborations with industry giants, she's also India's first certified intimacy director. Founder of the Intimacy Collective, Asta leads the TIL-XIPA certification program, shaping the next generation of intimacy coordinators in India. Additionally, she's a Somatica-trained sex, intimacy and relationship coach, helping clients navigate relationships in modern, conservative India, believing challenges can be overcome with intention and effort. Plus, amongst her cinematic gems are the critically acclaimed Andhadhun by Shriram Raghavan and Shakun Batra's Gehraiya, along with collaborations with industry giants such as Amazon, Viacom 18, Netflix, RSVP, Dharma Productions and YRF Studios. Welcome, Asta. How are you feeling today?
I'm grateful. I feel honored. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here, because I've been meaning to do this for the longest time. And what is exciting to me is that what you're doing at this moment of time is absolutely unconventional, unheard of, definitely not as in for India, or, you know, from the Indian perspective. And most importantly, I think it's very important to address sex in a different light, which is what you're doing, okay? And obviously, sex is powerful. But more importantly, I think intimacy and pleasure is even more. And I would like to know your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of power in intimacy. I believe that pleasure involves agency. Mm-hmm. And when you have the agency over your surrounding, over your body, over what is being done to you, mm-hmm. done with you, that's when pleasure grows.
Correct.
That's where pleasure flourishes, when you have agency. So I do believe that the responsibility that comes with the power,
mm-hmm.
Like Spider-Man says.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Spider-Man. The responsibility that comes with the power is that you take charge of your own pleasure. You take charge of your own likes and dislikes. It is extremely important for one to have their boundaries, to know what works for them, and to know what's definitely something that won't work for them.
Absolutely.
So I feel like that's where the self-exploration angle comes into play. The fact that the power to explore your own body, your own pleasure, your own boundaries, your threshold.
Yes.
Of curiosity and of new experiences is all stuff that is extremely important.
Yeah, I agree. Explore. And what I want to understand from you is that this happens to be sometimes almost a privilege, you know, to own that kind of pleasure, where you are having absolute control over your body, your mind, your spirit, to explore what you like, what you don't like, what your boundaries are. Mm-hmm. It's fairly new to be vocal about it, you know, when it comes to Indian women especially. And because we deal with a lot of women who come to us with these problems, you know, where they do not know how to take control, where they do not know where to start. And these are the questions that are very tough to answer, you know, in so many ways. And I wish, you know, obviously further going on, we are going to be collaborating on stuff like that. But if someone came to you with just saying, you know, how do I take it into my own hands? What can I do, you know, as a part of my practice, just a mental practice, to take this ownership of my body and my pleasure and own it, more importantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, very, very few are owning it. Some, they might probably own it, you know, privately, which is also okay. But some people are need that extra push, saying, you know what, you got this. You don't have to succumb to peer pressure or partner pressure or anything of that sort. But how do we start with that conversation?
I love that you asked me this question, because I think a lot of people just jump to the fact of asking people to state their boundaries and what they're okay with, right? But we don't, we're not taught to, and we're not given the opportunity to experience or think for ourselves, or like spend that time with our own bodies to understand whether or not something's working for us.
Correct.
Right? So I feel like the first step would probably be to do a little bit of grounding work with your own body. To spend time with your own body. How do you own something, right? The idea is that if you've spent time feeling it, sensing it, breathing into it, it's things that you can kind of then kind of sense in its fullest.
Absolutely.
Right? And I don't mean this in the sense of like complete pleasure. And I'm not saying that, oh, this is probably the first thing that you're going to do if you want to masturbate.
Yes.
It's, I would say, do it before you start to masturbate.
Correct.
And so I would say one should probably be teaching this in at a stage when a kid is pre-pubescent.
I'm loving the fact that you said that, because that is exactly what we want to get at. Because these are the kind of feelings that you start developing in your puberty stage of your, you know, life. And it should be taught at that moment of time, because I think at that moment of time, I think a lot of boys and girls are very vulnerable to what they experience now because of the exposure, the internet. You have them learning all sorts of, you know, methods to try new things or experiment with or do things that are cool.
Yeah.
And very important over here to speak of is that women to be empowered with their bodies, you know, because only when they know what can happen to them in so many ways, because they are expected to be the pleasure providers as opposed to receivers, you know, in this dynamics of the majority of our country. These things play a huge role in controlling almost like a very, what should I say, majority mental health sense. You know what I mean? Like we're talking about women and their mental health and their physical health is so crucial in this day and age, because if we don't do it as women today, we're only surrendering to almost something that would feel very wrong in the future.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
You know, and for me, that I think is so important to communicate to the women of this country, that it is important for you to take note that you are important.
100%. I think in any, at any stage of intimacy, sex, within any relationship, if there isn't a complementary flow of power and pleasure,
yes,
then there's something wrong.
Correct.
And then that something wrong needs to be addressed.
Mm.
We have, through systemic oppression, spent our entire lives and many, many generations of people, of vulva owners and women's lives,
yes,
of not acknowledging their need for pleasure.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with the fact that time is now.
Yeah.
In fact, pichle 5 saal mein, and I've been thinking about it, pichle 5 ya 7 saal mein, there has been such a shift in the fact ki log baat to kar rahe hain.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I feel like ab baat ho gayi.
Hmm.
Ab karte
hain kuch.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Ab baat ho gayi, and bahut sare conservative societies mein, even within India, bahut sare conservative households mein, aaj bhi, it's extremely unheard of.
Yeah.
The idea that a woman would take agency of her pleasure.
Absolutely.
Right? But I feel like wo dheere dheere change ho raha hai ya hona chahiye.
Nahi, ho to raha hai. Mujhe lagta hai ki urban cities mein definitely ho raha hai. I think because of the now with sexual wellness brands that are coming out, we're also focusing on education in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Also understanding the role of a woman in a relationship nowadays. You know, there's so much more that she brings to the table, especially in urban India. I mean, she's working, she's doing her thing, she's providing for the, you know, family. She's also doing all that. And then in that mindset comes, oh, I also deserve, you know. And in that, I think there are probably women who are secretive about it. Will probably hide their, you know, pleasure toys from their partners, because we have those as well. But there are also women who say, hello, husband, it's time. Let's, you know, give and take.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that is what I feel is the beautiful, you know, transition of this entire process. Ki vocalizing it has become a thing. And now, obviously, their partners are supposed to sit up and take note that, yes, we should be doing something that means something. Because I think, you know, it's what happens is when the power of probably providing, you know, remains on one side, it almost goes like, okay, whatever that person wants has to just go. While if it is both doing it at the same time.
Yeah, when there's like a flow.
Exactly. It has to flow, and then there's that give and take, which is becomes almost equal.
Yeah.
You know, that is where you want it to be. And that's the beauty of it.
100%.
Know? Where I think that's a lot of also maturity and love in that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Which I think people should look forward to. Sex being a very, very important part of a relationship.
I actually want to say sex is a very important part of the human experience, period.
Absolutely.
It is equally as important as the fact that you need to nourish your body with food.
Yeah.
And that you need to excrete.
Yes.
And that you need to sleep.
You sound like me.
And I mean, I think you need pleasure.
Yes.
And by saying sex or by saying pleasure, I don't want to... I'm not looking at it in an extremely sort of... literal.
Yes, yes.
Sex equal to intercourse.
No, absolutely not.
I'm looking at it as a body pleasure experience.
Yes.
Loop.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's the most basic thing, and I say this even in my intimacy coordination work a lot, which is that hum sex dikhane se kyun darte hain?
Yeah.
Why are we so scared to talk about intimacy? Why are we so scared to talk about sex?
Yeah.
It is as much a part of the human experience as anything else.
Yes.
I mean, if there is anything that is in common with human beings and animals, yes. as they like to say, as human beings are an animal. Yes. And the closest things to nature are the fact that you breathe oxygen, you eat food, you need to excrete, you need to sleep, you need to have some form of body pleasure.
Absolutely.
It's just the most basic thing.
Need.
Huh.
Absolutely.
It is the most basic clause of the agreement of a partnership. Otherwise, you're just...
Flatmates. Exactly.
Yeah. Fair. Either you're flatmates or, like, I mean, that is in the case you're in a relationship. But, like, I feel like there are also times where there isn't sex.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of intimacy.
And definitely, intimacy can, to a certain extent, compensate, for lack of moments of sex.
100%.
You know, or so-called intercourse sex. And if your relationship is high on intimacy, I think, obviously, not everybody has that higher sex drive or a libido, and probably sometimes there's a mismatch, that's quite likely in situations in like arranged marriage situations where we're not like allowed to explore, before you get married, and there could be or it could be even changing over a period of time.
It could be medical.
Yes. So that is also a part of it. Yeah. So how do you, you are expected to reevaluate your relationship from time to time, understanding what is the need of that partner, at a given point of time, and then catering to it because you want to be with that person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like showing up for one another is also a huge aspect of intimacy.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, and it doesn't have to be... Like, of course, I'm sure you've heard of something called love languages, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So... Although I think...
Also, I think you should delve slightly a little more into it. Please tell us, what are those love languages?
They are acts of service, receiving gifts, and receiving and giving gifts.
Yeah.
Quality time.
Correct.
Words of affirmation.
Yes.
And of course, physical touch.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with all of these different kinds of love languages, I think it broadly covers all forms of
intimacy, absolutely.
I'm going to segue slightly, but I feel like in any partner situation, in any situation where there is intimacy, it's not just important to know what your love language is.
Correct.
It's very important to know what the other person's love language is, and then to also know that it's not necessary that your love language is equal to the love language that you want to receive.
Absolutely.
And your partner's love language is not necessarily the same love language they want to receive either. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll give you an example. My husband...
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Narissa, that.
Yeah. So, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. This is a personal example, which is that my husband's love language is acts of kindness.
Yeah. That's nice.
Like, gestures and he will show me 38 times in a day that he loves me. By doing very small things, something, it could be something as simple as, before I'm about to go to bed or go to my bedroom, the AC will already be switched on. The, my water bottle will already be on my bedside.
Oh yeah, I've had that.
Stuff like that. Yeah. And these are, I mean, you would not think that, oh my God, this person, but this person really loves me. Before I can think, there's
absolutely,
something there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right? And what I like to receive is words of affirmation or acts of...
Correct.
Yeah, and it could be different combinations. For me, there are two. I think mine is definitely physical touch. That's one of mine. And the second one is definitely receiving gifts.
Yeah. Listen, who doesn't like to receive gifts? But I actually love giving gifts.
Yeah.
Like the for me, the thrill of having my partner open the gift and see how much thought went into it makes me feel so good that I feel like one of my love languages
is gifting.
I mean, of course, this is to say that the very foundation of the relationship is physical touch.
Yes.
So we've put that aside. Yeah. But... Or amongst other things, I mean, outside of just the physical touch aspect of intimacy, I feel like another thing that he absolutely, what I've understood in our relationship is that he is very happy to have words of affirmation. He's not actually super excited about gifts. He's not somebody who cares that much about, oh, tumne kya kharida, or mere liye kya leke aaye, or whatever. The intention behind it is something that he is so much more excited by. So, understanding ki dusre bande ko kya pasand hai, kya nahi pasand hai, that's super important.
What do you say to him that makes him feel special?
I think it's just a part of the vocabulary in the way that one speaks to the other person that, you know, you're, for me, I think my words of affirmation are constantly, like, I mean, they can be as simple as, main aapke bagair ye nahi kar sakti. Like, you know.
Of course.
And it does not mean ki main actually nahi kar sakti.
Yes.
It means ki I would rather not do it because I have you in my life. It doesn't mean that tomorrow if I have to be Bob the Builder, I won't be able to do it. I think that is another thing that people don't realize in relationships. You let the other person have things that have stake in your life. Even if you are independent.
Correct. Yes.
Because independence does not mean isolation.
Yeah.
You don't have to isolate other people in order to feel independent.
Agreed.
So, and that stands true for parents and all also. But like, since we're talking about partners specifically, if your partner would like to do something for you and they're very capable of doing it, please let them do it.
Yeah. Correct. You know? I'm sure they will be happy doing it for you.
If they want to do it for you, then why not?
Yes.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy for it when he wants to wash the dishes at night. I'm like, please go ahead and do it. Yeah, I'm like,
take the day.
Take it. No, but in fact, he is somebody that really, really puts in a lot of effort in the home. So, I mean, I struck gold.
That really feels nice, you know, because,
100%.
I mean, you're just expected to be the home runner, you know, irrespective if you're working or not, you would like a partner who kind of chips in. As and when, nobody's asking you to do it every day. But, you know, as and when, take that initiative and say, okay, I got this today. You know?
Yeah, I think it's assumed responsibility more than anything else. At least our generation has that it's systemic coding.
Yes. Yes,
right?
It is.
So there's this logic that hum kitna bhi zyada wo jata na. Ab actually, auraton ne apni, for the lack of a better word, apni pair pe kulaadi mari hai.
Of course.
Wo, because wo kaam
bhi nahi hoga, main kar lungi. It's almost in that, you know, language. Because I will do it best. So let me only do it.
But that is like because hum control kitna karte hain, right?
Correct.
And it's also because hum hamare saath mein aisa ho gaya hai ki at least meri generation ke saath mein aisa hua tha. I'm sure. And I hear for a lot of people from the same socioeconomic class as me in the next generation who've noticed it and corrected it. Which is why I'm saying that this is very interesting that hamari generation and humse ek generation pehle tak ye hua tha ke ab ladkiyan kaam karti hain.
Yes.
Ab ladkiyan apne aap ko educate karti hain. Ab ladkiyon pe expectation ye aa gayi hai ki tum ghar pe baithogi. Tumhe kuch to karna hai.
Correct.
Hai na? तो अब वो काम भी करती हैं फिर उनसे एक्सपेक्ट ये भी करते हो कि 30 साल की उम्र में उनकी शादी भी हो जाए फिर उनसे 32 की उम्र में एक्सपेक्ट करते हो कि उनका बच्चा भी हो जाए फिर बच्चा हुआ है पर उनको उनका काम करना है बिकॉज दे आर नाउ डबल इनकम फैमिली अब उसके ऊपर आप एक्सपेक्ट करते हो कि बच्चा हो गया घर हो गया पर घर भी वो ही चलाएगी बिकॉज बेटे को तो आपने सिखाया ही नहीं घर चलाना
बराबर नहीं सिखाया
है ना तो आपने बस बोल दिया कि मैम यू कैन डू इट ऑल बट उसमें आपने जो मार दी एक दूसरे की
Absolutely. Which comes to an interesting statement that Vidya Balan had made in a conference that I attended, where she said, women are expected to aim for perfection.
Yeah.
You know, every time. We're supposed to be so perfect. And I think what should be told to women is that it's okay to not be perfect. These, you know, you can be flawed AF. And it's okay. You know, you can be who you want to be. You don't have to be flag bearer and, you know, of the you know, just household and, you know, epitome of perfection. No, you don't have to be any of that.
Yeah.
Just be you. Do what you're capable of doing. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was so, you know, refreshing to hear. Ki nahi hona chahiye. Because I think inherently women are pressured, self-pressured, more importantly, self-pressured.
Ki,
look, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. Nahi hota.
Aapki self-worth attached hai na, aap kitna zyada contribute kar rahe ho society
yeah.
se.
Yeah.
But agar aapki self-worth usse nahi attached hogi,
yes.
jaise aapki, and I, every time I say this, it, a lot of people's eyebrows, they go up. But agar aapki, aapki izzat, aapke pairon ke beech mein nahi hai.
Hmm?
और आपकी सेल्फ वर्थ आपके कंट्रीब्यूशन टू सोसाइटी से अटैच्ड नहीं है
यस
दैट्स व्हेन यू ट्रूली आर एन इंडिपेंडेंट वुमन
अग्रीड वेल सेड एब्सोल्युटली एंड एज आई सेड ना इट्स द इनएनिमेट
मिल गया आपको ट्रेलर
यस यस मिल गया मिल गया मिल गया फॉर श्योर मूविंग ऑन टू व्हाट आई वांटेड टू डिस्कस वाज अटैचमेंट स्टाइल्स यू नो इन रिलेशनशिप्स and that is something that I wanted to understand because that's something that even has been very vague to me.
Mm.
I really want you to, you know, delve into what you have learnt, more importantly, and how to recognize, you know, these in your relationship.
Mm. Mm. Very interesting that you say attachment styles because they dictate what the experience of your relationship will be like.
Mm.
That is what attachment styles are. So what are attachment styles? Essentially, attachment styles are aapki life ke experience ki wajah se aap apni relationship mein kaise attached ho.
Mm.
And kaise ke kuch variations hain. For example, koi anxiously attached hota hai.
Mm.
Koi avoidant hota hai.
Mm.
Avoidantly attached hota hai.
Mm.
Koi बैलेंस्ड अटैचमेंट जिसकी कोई बैलेंस्ड अटैचमेंट स्टाइल होती है या बैलेंस्ड इज प्रोबेबली द इनकरेक्ट टर्म बट द आइडिया इज दैट समबडी हु इज न्यूट्रली अटैच्ड और समवन हु इज हेल्थीली अटैच्ड लाइक दीज आर अ कपल ऑफ एग्जाम्पल्स मेनली द आइडिया ऑफ अटैचमेंट स्टाइल्स कम्स फ्रॉम वॉट वन what a person's core desires are, as in what is it that they want in their life.
Kya chahiye?
Kya chahiye? See, human beings are an assimilation of their experiences, right? Yeah. Each and every cell in your body has experienced something that collectively gives you a human experience.
Yes, and makes a memory of what your then further reactions are going to be.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And your mind takes into account and your body takes into account a few core wounds
Ji.
In your upbringing which define what your core desires are and usually it is the wounds that need to be mended and so the desires come into play because these are the wounds that need to be mended. Mm. So I'll give an example. If a child is a single child who has lived in a house where both parents are working and the child doesn't feel like they have gotten enough attention in their lives, they will have a very anxious attachment style because they have a core desire to be attended to, to be needed, to be wanted, to be serviced, to be, you know, relished, to be... I'll give you another word for it could go into a space of what they want their passion to be like, to be ravished, to be, you know, so on and so forth. Like it could, I'm giving you examples of what it could be like, right?
Yeah.
The idea is that a core wound can be the fact that that you have felt a certain kind of inadequacy in your life or experienced something in your life, say suppose there is a person who has experienced extreme trauma. They could then have a core desire around mending that trauma. And that core desire could then lead to the fact, it could also then be in correlation with the fact that their attachment style is avoidant. They will shut down. if there is a fight.
There is, if there's anything that is obviously that is going to trigger that memory of trauma, then they will just like clamp up or completely avoid it or not pay attention, you know, and almost not like basically ignore, even if it is something that needs attention at that very moment of time, you will find a way to just back off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they need a lot of time to process.
Mm.
And they also probably believe that if they give a reaction, it will be something that will they will not be able to repair from.
Correct.
There is also a lot of times that there is a, that in their head, there is a loving rationalization behind why they don't react or why they don't engage.
They're almost like,
it is like, agar main abhi react karunga ya karungi, to nahi, to shayad ye, this will become tilka pahad and then I will not be able to come back from this.
Correct.
So I need that 5-10 minutes or that 5-10 days sometimes to disengage. Or to restart.
Would you call that behavior non-confrontational or to a large extent?
I would say non-confrontational actually comes from an anxious attachment style to an extent. Because you don't want to confront because you don't want to, you don't want to rock a boat. Right? And it comes from this insecurity that something will go wrong. If I confront.
Correct. Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong, then wo meko chhod dega. Ya chhod degi. Ya chhod denge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like, I'll be left alone.
Yeah.
There is an anxiety around that. Which is why you choose not to poke the bear.
Correct.
So to speak.
Correct.
But again, this is very blanket when I'm saying correct. It. But when you work with a person, then you can slowly realize what their attachment style is. And when I say the spectrum of attachment styles is something like between a mountain and an ocean. Right? So, ocean is very anxious. It's constantly coming and crashing waves at the island. Like, it's constantly saying, hi, come talk to me. You're crashing waves constantly.
Yeah.
Baat karo. Abhi batao. Yeah. Abhi karna hai. Yeah. I can't. Why did you say this? Why do you? No, come on. We have to talk. We have to talk about the drive. Like, why are you not replying to me? Why are you not responding? Why are you not calling? Why are you not? Why? Right? And even in a more balanced sense, this is a very. This is a slightly more on the extreme sense. Yes. But even in a more balanced sense, someone who feels like they are shutting down because conversation nahi ho rahi.
Correct.
Is because wo anxious hai ki ye baat hui nahi hai, abhi mujhe karni hai, kyun nahi respond kar raha, kya ho raha hai, you know?
Yeah.
Wo, that's very anxious, right? Avoidant hai, jhagda hua, you don't do this for me, you don't do that for me, you are like this. Okay, close door, bye bye.
Yeah.
Right? That's like a mountain. Wo hill hi nahi raha apni jagah se. Oh, hilega hi nahi. And ocean bhi mare ja raha hai, mountain hill hi nahi raha.
Yeah, correct.
Right? And un sab ke beech mein aata hai sand.
Yeah. Which is the balance.
Thoda thoda ocean ki taraf bhi jata hai. Thoda thoda.
Yeah, correct.
So I feel that's kind of a great metaphor for the spectrum.
Correct. I agree with you on
of how they are. And funnily, I started my my wedding toast to my husband was, he's a mountain and I'm an ocean.
Oh,
now that I think about it. But it's
not that.
It's actually fairly true.
Okay.
Fairly true in the sense that I have, I can't speak for him or what his attachment style is, but I know mine is anxious.
Yeah.
And mine is anxious because of my past experiences of infidelity, of my past experiences of not working relationships. Mm-hmm. So, and of also of not having had a very great experience of very long lasting friendships in my childhood.
Correct.
So, it took me a little while. And it's something I work on every single day. I feel like I'm going closer and closer to sand as I work on myself.
Sure.
And I feel like unless you know You can't work on yourself.
Agreed.
Because unless...
Exactly what I said. Like how, when you don't know, then you don't know the work for it.
Yeah, you don't.
More importantly. And that is what even... So I'm of course, I'm a very similar also in the sense of I'm the anxious child attachment style because where I feel the need to overtly communicate and almost like break it down.
Talk it to death.
Yes. Literally. Hmm. Like, I'm like dissecting. Okay, this led to that, to that, to that. You know, I'm in that, you know, over-analyzing. Ki ye kyu, but ye ab, now I'm getting answers. Previously, when I had these questions in my head, I never had answers and I had no one to even, like a safe space, to even discuss. You know, ki kya hai? Am I the only one feeling this?
Yeah.
Or why am I feeling it more importantly? And why? And what should I do? You know, and it's very difficult to recognize the need for self-work. You know, it's very difficult to recognize it. You think that it's okay. Aisa hi hota hai na. How else do you do it? And ye to hota hai. You communicate. You thrash it out. And the more you thrash it out, the more you'll reach to better conclusions. And it should solve itself out the way it is. But not everybody gets down to that level of, you know, breaking down things and is willing to thrash it out with you.
Yeah. I actually want to say to that, there are a lot of reels that have been going around. And then this is something I also experienced a little bit of where I was like, oh, we're never going to fight. We're not going to sleep over a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more I study and the more I learn, I feel sleep over a fight if you need to.
Yeah, I'm that kind of person.
Sometimes the fight will get resolved without it needing
any kind of
conversation.
Oh yeah.
It's not it is not in that moment in any way a constructive conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
So when you feel like you're not having a constructive conversation,
just drop it.
Don't have the conversation. So you're not helping anyone.
Agreed. I am the kind of person who you know, wants to resolve things quickly. Because that's the kind of person I am. I do not like to be, you know, in that mode of fighting or not talking or avoiding each other. And you always want to, if you love somebody, you want them to be in that loving mode ASAP, you know, after a confrontation.
Yeah.
Okay, so Asta, we're going to have a really fun segment right now, which is called Sass or Sus. And it's almost like a myth busting, whatever you agree to or not agree to, or basically just very personal on your thought process. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be right or wrong.
Sounds right.
But if you feel strongly positive about it, you pick up the purple heart. And if you are not in like agreement, then it's this one, okay, which is a sad smiley. So I'm handing over this to you.
Thank you.
And we'll start with the questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. The myth is, intimacy is only about physical closeness. Correct. I agree.
Yes,
I don't,
so much.
Of course. And we don't only need to explain further. The second one is, certified intimacy directors are unnecessary on film sets. Yep, it can get awkward. Discussing desires in a relationship is taboo. Yeah, for sure. Power dynamics don't affect relationships. Unfortunately, they do. Pleasure is solely physical satisfaction. My God, what is the sad smiley coming up every time? Attachment styles can't be changed. But it's true, right? They can be changed.
You can work on them.
Yes, of course.
You can work on them. You can work on anything.
Okay, so that's like a middle ground of both, I think. Of, yes and no.
No.
Depending on your goals.
Yeah.
Only core wounds shape relationships?
To a very, very large extent.
Yeah, I would agree on that. Film sets are inherently safe environments. I feel that too. Only the younger generation needs intimacy education. Yep, I'm rolling my eyes. The film industry is resistant to change. Oh, okay. Quite resistant to a large extent. Also.
Everyone is resistant to change.
Yes.
Always.
Pleasure and power can't coexist.
Oh, they must.
Hmm.
Pleasure and power must coexist.
That's the heart then.
Oh, sorry.
Like they must coexist.
Yeah, they must coexist.
And the last one, intimacy coordination is only for explicit scenes. The predominantly for intimate scenes. Yes, right. Yeah. But in between, I think.
Intimacy coordination is for explicit scenes makes it sound like incorrect. But I feel like for scenes that have intimacy, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Definition of intimacy is...
Yeah, exactly. Different. Definition of intimacy could be just cooking together in the kitchen and fooling around and...
That's, oh, yeah. Have
that definitely, of course, absolutely. Okay, so that was... my God. We've had such an amazing time with Aastha.
We have.
And I'm sure we have a plethora. We have like entire, I say, shayad boxes. Yeah, then rooms. Rooms of conversations that we are capable of having. But I'm so happy that we have kickstarted this journey together. Because I know for a fact I want to work with you on a regular basis with Sassiest. You know, exploring different methods and ways of how people could have better relationships, not only with themselves, but with their partners. And that's the route I want to take with you. So thank you, Aastha, for being a part of Sassiest and M&M Spotlight. We're absolutely grateful that we could make this episode happen. And I'm really looking forward to working with you, you know, just to explore more ways of how people can love themselves better and their partners.
Likewise.
Yes. Absolutely. And I'm absolutely thrilled because I know for a fact we're going to have you back on every season discussing the rooms of conversation that we have. I'm telling you, it's like a storage space for you and me.
I love how potent the conversation is.
Yes, absolutely. And absolutely electrifying, mind-blowing and mind-boggling. So I'm really grateful and thank you. Thank you for being a part of this.
Thank you so much.